Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Luann Crane. And Ryan, last time we began a conversation that I know you were pretty disappointed to have missed.
Oh, Luann, disappointed doesn't even begin to describe it. I was driving home from a trip, and you and my dad had a great discussion with Dr. Meg Meeker about her book, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, 10 Secrets Every Father Should Know. And now, as a dad of a young daughter, I know I would have been taking notes during that broadcast.
Well, you are in luck, Ryan. Little Lucy is undoubtedly going to benefit from what we'll be hearing today as we continue a conversation concentrating on the importance of a dad's role in his daughter's life and how critical that input is. A little bit more about Dr. Meeker. She has spent the past 20 years practicing pediatric and adolescent medicine and counsels teens and their parents.
She's also had the honor of being a fellow of the National Advisory Board of the Medical Institute, which was founded by our friend and former broadcast guest, Dr. Joe McElhaney. And she's been married to Walter for over 30 years, and they've got four children.
So she knows what she's talking about. Let's get right to it. Now, when we left off last time, Ryan, we were talking with Dr. Meeker about how important it is for a dad to never, ever comment on his daughter's body and specifically her weight.
Well, Luann, what a touchy topic. And I'm not sure if most dads realize just how important this really is. Because of that, you asked Dr. Meeker to clarify a little more what a dad should or should not do or say. And that's where we're going to rejoin the discussion today on this Family Talk broadcast.
So to be even more specific, I think you've said that fathers shouldn't comment on weight or specific body parts or anything, right?
Absolutely not. Dads often say, well, I feel stuck then. I don't want my daughter to pay attention to her weight, so I don't want to say, you look beautiful, i.e. thin. So is it okay if I say she's beautiful? And I say, of course it's okay if you say she's beautiful. You need to let her know that. Don't comment on her physique, however. Comment on her character. Comment on what you think is beautiful in her. You are very beautiful because you are very patient. You are very kind. You are beautiful because you are my daughter. That's it. And that sense of possessiveness feels really good to daughters.
I talked to a college woman a while back who was describing her relationship with her father. And this probably went back 10 years ago, but this is what she remembered. That he would come in the morning and she would be having breakfast and she would be putting jelly on bread or what have you. And he would look at her and say, you know where that's going? That's going right to your hips. That's where that's going. And it burned her. It hurt her. It affected her so much that 10 years later, she's telling me about it.
Yeah.
It was a casual thing. He wouldn't remember past noon on that day.
No.
But be careful what you say about the physical body to a girl that age. She already feels unacceptable.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that one study I recently read said that 43% of girls from first through third grade feel they need to lose weight. And 40-some percent third through fifth grade have been on diets. And I imagine it's even higher than that. And that's that male-female perspective. Dads will say comments that they feel are innocent or they're not maybe trying to make a jab, but they're trying to say, hey, you know what? You need to watch it there. Maybe you need to lose a few pounds. Never, ever, ever comment because our culture teaches girls and women and older women that an enormous part of their value stems from their physique.
Well, the whole culture does.
The whole culture. We are seeing adult women, parents, women who have eating disorders with teenage girls. So our culture has really changed the way we as parents think about our kids. So we need to be on guard to not be passing this on to our daughters. Dads are huge in that regard.
You also said in this book that the father can provide the ultimate antidote for an eating disorder. He is the key person in helping her get over that.
Yes, why. Well, studies show that, which is pretty neat. Yeah. It's always nice when you know something is right and you want to write about it when a study says you are right. So you can put it in your book. Here's why. At the root of eating disorders is a profound sense of self-contempt. I hate myself. I'm going to go away. You know, is it about control issues? People say, well, daughters control food because it's all they control. But if you really look at it, by the time a girl is very severe in her eating disordered, the food is in charge. Mm-hmm. Not eating food is in charge. So she's very much out of control. So the antidote to that is to teach the girl that you can like who you are, and I will help you work on that. And think about that. That relationship with dad is there from the beginning, and it's bound by a need for his love, a need for his approval. So once you begin to strengthen that and feed into that, that sense of I hate who I am begins to dissipate. And dad can also teach the daughter to think about herself as strong, not weak. Girls who are trying to starve themselves to go away need to learn that it's okay to be. Having a presence, a physical presence, an emotional presence, an intellectual presence, having strength in those areas are good things. That's what dad can teach. That's where dad comes in. Because if he can teach his daughter anything, it's that he can teach her, because she perceives him as strong, you can be strong. Strength is good. Weight is good. Intellect is good. And he's in a position to teach that to her more than her mother is.
And it's as simple as just starting to spend more time with
exactly.
her.
Exactly. Wow. Listening, hearing, changing the tapes that are going over and over in her head that I am stupid, I am nothing, I need to go away, I am always ugly, I need to be thinner. He's in an enormous position to really start changing those tapes.
What advice would you give to the father who notices that his daughter is a little chubby about dieting? Does he ever mention that?
No.
Does he ever say,
no.
This is
absolutely
a forbidden topic?
Yes, yes. You talk about strength and you talk about health, and you take your daughter into the woods. You know, it sounds very simple, but you go and engage your daughter in doing physical activities that require her to be strong. You get her to exercise. You're there with her. You're showing her her strength. You're showing her her capability. I love, and maybe you were the one who said this, Jim, many, many years ago, how good camping is for families. Because it puts parents and kids on equal territory. Neither one of them is really very good at setting up a tent, I think. But it requires them to lean on each other, to help each other, to get a task done.
And going to her soccer game or her volleyball game or things that show an interest in activity.
Yes, that show her strength, you know, that show her that she can be a strong person, and that's good. And I think that to whatever degree you feel as a dad that your daughter is physically unhealthy, the best thing to do to help her be a healthy weight and a strong weight is to help her exercise and focus on getting her stronger, not on getting weaker, i.e. through dieting, because that goes nowhere good. You cannot win, ever, if you tell your daughter that she's a little chubby and she needs to lose weight. It goes nowhere good.
I agree 100%. You talk in this book about the dad's authority. Mm-hmm. What role does that play?
The thing that's so wonderful about authority in a daughter's eyes is that it's not something a dad needs to earn. It's there. It just is there. It's like a daughter wanting her dad to be her hero. You know, dads always say, what do I need to do to garner authority? What do I need to do to be my daughter's hero? And I said, the great news is you just need to be, because that's what she wants from you. She gives you an authority the moment she's born. Your voice is different. Your voice is deeper. You smell different than mom does. Your face is rougher than mom's. So she looks up to you as an authority figure right out the chute, so you don't need to earn that. There's another thing that dads need to understand, too, and that is, and I don't know where this comes from, but daughters, and to some degree sons, as they're growing up, feel that they need to keep doing things to please their dads. So a daughter wants to please you, wants to get your affection, and if she gets your affection and she gets your attention, it means a tremendous amount to her, because It's attention and affection with authority. It sticks. It's real. It's huge. It carries weight. It develops our character. Mm-hmm. That comes from inside a girl. A dad could never know that. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm trying to give dads a peek from how their daughters feel and how they see you as dads.
You also talk in this book about pragmatism and grit.
Yes, I do. Well, I really wanted to sort of say, moms, now listen, there's a whole lot that our husbands are bringing to the table that is really great. And there are times when they know how to parent our daughters gulp a little better than we do.
Imagine that.
So we need to learn to back off. And in the arena of pragmatism and grit, sometimes they have it all over us. And that's okay. Hmm. We can deal with that. When I'm having difficulty with one of my female patients, and I think I wrote about one of, well, I gave several illustrations in the book, and that is, if you're having difficulty, particularly psychological, behavioral difficulty with a daughter, the way a dad will approach it and the way a mother will approach it will be very, very different. Right out the chute, mom will start to say, what did I do wrong? And I shouldn't have said this, and I shouldn't have done this. And she'll pull in all these different reasons why she's to blame for this problem and really start to think more about her involvement in the problem. Dads often, on the other hand, in my experience, it's back to that. They will sit back and listen to what the girl says, listen to what I may, as the physician of the child, have to say about it, and they will process it, and then they will filter it through their mind in a much more pragmatic way. Well, here's the problem. And I will even, dad, say to me, well, she's not eating enough. She's too skinny. She has anorexia. Okay, I'm going to go home and feed her. He said, well, it's a little more complicated usually than that. The point is, dads approach the problems our daughters have in a very different fashion than we do. And in many ways, and in many times, it's more pragmatic. So let them do it. Listen to what they have to say. Don't jump in and tell them they're wrong. Don't jump in and correct them. Particularly with eating disorders, I feel dads play such an enormous role in the healing of that girl. Let them go. Mm. If you have a daughter who's acting out sexually, bring dad into the fold. Let him deal with your daughter. He's going to make much bigger strides much more quickly than you can.
Talk about the fact that girls are natural born manipulators of their dads.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey.
It is true,
we
isn't it?
We didn't do that, did
oh,
we?
I don't know what you're talking about.
They know how to get to his heart.
Oh, they play dad.
It's chocolate chip cookies, I'll tell you right now.
The fun thing is, I can see my daughters play my husband. Now they're old enough to talk about it behind his back. And I have to warn him. Yeah. And I have overheard them saying, oh, well, dad'll tell that to mom, but just wait. I'll go in and I'll convince him that he needs to do this. Yeah. And my husband falls for it every time. And I always tell, I said, he is around your little finger and he sort of knows it. The problem with manipulation is that it works because the manipulator knows exactly what she needs to do to get the end result.
So when you give an answer that your daughter does not want to hear,
right,
like you can't do something, mm-hmm, she goes straight to him.
Straight to dad.
And can usually get him to say yes.
Oh, always. It is amazing. It is amazing to me that my husband and I, on most things raising our kids, we're on the same page. Always on the same page. Rules about dating. You know, rules about never letting a teenage kid stay home alone. End of story. I don't care how great and nice and kind and straight A's our kids got, whether they're a female or male, never stay home alone. And rules about dating. And I will tell you, we would believe these things, and our 14-year-old daughter, for instance, would want to go out on a date with some guy and come to me and say, no, you know the rules. In our house, this is just the way it goes. Okay. And then I'd hear her, right up to find dad and have this eloquent but 14-year-old argument about why she really it was okay to go to movies with this guy. And she would take this otherwise very intelligent, respectable man who would never say, give this advice to any of his patients, tell his daughter it was okay to do that. And it dumbfounded me, and I could usually tell him that. So it's very important that parents stay on the same page and that mothers help dads understand that the rules apply even when your heart is telling you you need to break them.
But sometimes I think you've pointed out that the dad kind of relents because he's exhausted.
Yes.
He's just, and your word to him is, I'm sorry, you got to keep persevering.
Got to keep persevering. Got to keep persevering, absolutely. And that's where the grit comes in. And yes, dads can be beaten down, but they are strong and they need to stand back up. And in many ways, when we are beaten down, and this happens, you know, more in your second or third or fourth child than with the fifth, we've all got all sorts of energy for our firstborn, don't we? Poor kids. but when those later kids come, and particularly during their teen years, you know, us mothers tend to get beaten down and we throw up our hands, but we really need to go to our husbands then and lean on them and say, you know what, I really need you to be on here. I can't handle this, but you can. I literally have said that to my husband many times when I was having an argument with one of my daughters and she was frustrating me so much, I'd walk out of the room and I'd say, you're on. I can't do this. And so dads have extraordinary grit. That's their wiring. Use it. And don't give up.
Talk about fences.
Fences. Boy, oh boy. I still use your book, Dare to Discipline. And I refer it all the time.
Do you?
My fences are my way of saying when we envision our children, keeping our kids safe when they're young, we envision them, you know, putting a sort of a playpen, which we don't use anymore because we feel that it stifles our children's creativity. Who thought of that? I don't know. But anyway, but you know, literally putting little fences around toddlers, we define their world. Here's where you're safe. Here's where you're not. As the child grows older, we start to take out some of those sections of that fence. But we can't let our fences down completely. And what I tell parents of teenagers is that they need fences. But the partitions that are up need to be taller and stronger because anyone who's ever parented a teenage boy knows that teen boys need to run into places. And they will run into things. And if they don't run into you, they will run into policemen. Daughters are the same way. They need to have their safety zones defined clearly by fences. And what I find is that parents of really nice girls, bright girls, kind girls who behave, their parents in with good intention and good hearts take the fences down and say, she's mature, I trust her, I understand, she can handle this. And what makes us believe that these nice girls can handle it and we take down those walls and fences too early really kind of confounds me because it's really the nice girls that I worry about the most. When nice girls don't have firm boundaries, maybe they won't plow through the walls, but somebody on the other side will.
Meg, do fences and boundaries lead to rebellion?
No.
I wish every parent understood.
No. Let me tell you, every teenager I have ever seen who has gone into prison, gone into detention, had to go into foster care, or had real serious emotional, psychological trauma, have been kids who have never known boundaries, ever. It's a very interesting thing. We have a halfway home in our town called House of Hope. And Sarah Trollinger in Florida started a House of Hope. And we started it many years ago to help girls who failed foster care, just come out of prison and so on and so forth. And we have found that the reason that the house is successful is because these girls who have no safety zones in their life, and that's what boundaries are all about, defining safety zones. What good parent won't define safety zones? It's not to just to protect the kids, the girls themselves. It's to protect the girls from other influences, which are kind of come in and wreak havoc in their life. First thing we do when we send, when we have these girls go into this halfway home, is we almost tie them to an adult woman. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean we have them spend so much time with those women is that they relearn what the safety zones are, mm-hmm. what's okay, what's not okay. And at the first couple of weeks are awful. The kids hate them. Mm-hmm. They have temper tantrums more furiously than a two-year-old kid because they hate the limits. They hate the boundaries. But once they start to learn where the safety zone's on, then the women can back off. Then they can begin to relax a little bit because the girls feel safe and they can live again. And the, one of the biggest failures I see in parents who are so timid that they're kids are going to rebel, that the parents are going to be overbearing, so on and so forth, is that they release the boundaries way too soon.
Let me ask you a specific, if I can. Cell phones. Oh. How many parents I know who give their child a cell phone at the age of 8, 9, or 10, mm-hmm. and to me, that's just a huge fence you've torn down.
Yeah,
anybody has access.
Yeah. You're asking for trouble. Mm-hmm. You really are. It's, you know, we know that we are not to lead our children into temptation. There's no quicker way to do that than to give them a cell phone. Well, the first excuse I hear is, I need my child to be able to call me when they're away from home.
Yeah.
And then the second excuse is, well, all the other kids have them and I don't want them to feel unusual. Usually it's the moms who are saying that.
The primary reason they do it, I think, is because the kids demand it and
kids
the parents haven't got the courage to say no.
Right, right. And, you know, no is not that bad. What parents don't realize is that you will go head to head with your kid at some point. So get it over with. Start early. You know, have those battles when they're eight. And win those fights, because if you're battling with a 16-year-old with a set of car keys in his hands and you don't win, you've really lost.
Yeah.
So you need to establish that authority very, very, very early on. And kids are, you are going to go head to head, but what you, parents don't realize is once you win a few battles, it really gets a bit easier. Video games and boys. Parents are so hesitant to take video games away from their boys. I see addictions in mm-hmm. kids. We have data coming out our eyeballs about how, you know, the video games lead boys into being more aggressive and more violent when they're in their 20s and you know, sexual activity and so on and so forth. But, you know, but cell phones on many different levels, it's very harmful to kids. If nothing else, it does this. Our kids, for healthy identity formation, need face-to-face time with mom and dad. And our kids in this culture don't have enough because they've got electronics which have invaded their worlds.
Mm.
Less time with electronics, more face-to-face time with mom, healthier identity formation. So if for no other reason than just that, please don't give your 8-year-old a cell phone.
Mm.
Oh, Luann, I'm so bummed I wasn't here for this broadcast. It's so good.
It is.
I agree. Don't give your 8-year-old a cell
phone. Amen to that.
Don't give your 12-year-old a cell phone. On this Family Talk broadcast today, our guest is Dr. Meg Meeker, and it has been so practical, full of advice for dads like me. But what I love most about this time together is how affirming it is to men. It's not bashing them. It's really encouraging them.
And men, you have one more day of hearing Dr. Meeker still to come. That is great news. You're right, Ryan. Every father should have no doubt after listening today and yesterday, knowing how important he is in the life of his daughter. So, Dad, if you would like some more help for this critical task of fathering, please don't hesitate to connect with us here at drjamesdobson.org or over the phone, 877-732-6825.
We can point you towards Dr. Meeker's book, which we discussed today. Again, the title is Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. 10 Secrets Every Father Should Know. And we can also send you a copy of my dad's book, Bringing Up Girls.
Both are excellent titles. And actually, Ryan, a word to the women listening. Both of these books would make fantastic Father's Day gifts for your husband or your son or even your own father. I actually intend to send a copy to my dad with a thank you note written in it for how well he did.
Nice.
Ruined the surprise there, didn't I? Again, you can connect with us at drjamesdobson.org or by calling 877-732-6825.
And if there is any way you can help us out with an extra gift when you request Bringing Up Girls from Family Talk, we would truly appreciate it. We are totally listener-supported, and we'll put every cent donated to us to good use in strengthening families. You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org or again when you call 877-732-6825.
And of course, here in the month of May, the impact of every gift you give will be doubled. That's only for the next few days, though, so now is a great time to give. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and you definitely will want to be back with us tomorrow for one final day with Dr. Meg Meeker right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.